Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Volte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther. How was your event last night?
Dude, so awesome. We drank three vintage bottles of Old Overholt rye whiskey, one from 1909, two from 1940 that were a BIB and a barrel-proof release.
Bottled and bone?
Yeah, yeah. Dave Wondrich was there to kind of moderate the thing. Dave Pickerel showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, cool.
Alton Brown was in attendance.
Sweet.
You drank some old whiskey.
Did you kill all of it?
We killed about three quarters of each bottle, meaning that I walked away kind of getting it all paid for, and then I still have three quarters of each bottle to drink myself, which is like a win.
Yeah, man.
which means that you and I are going to drink some.
That's what we're going to. Yeah, I was waiting for that, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. That's a foregone conclusion.
Ah, very nice. I wanted to come by, but I found myself not there. I don't know what I was doing. I forgot, to be honest with you.
Well,
I'll be there on the next one.
Well, you can be on the next one, but you can be on the one that's, you know, cool. That's free.
Yeah.
This was an expensive evening for folks.
Yeah.
Worth it, but expensive.
Yeah. Awesome.
Too bad we're just alone in the studio today.
Yeah. Not.
Well, we're going to have to switch gears from rye to rum, man. We've got the Tiki Mafia arg in here. Man, this is a full house. I'm going to start from my right-hand side, Garrett Richard. We've got Joaquin Simo, the Pouring Ribbons, Brian Miller. We've got Ryan LaLoya. We've got Jelani. Dude, what are you doing back there?
Hey, Sean.
Yeah. Dude, this is like, is this the most people we've had?
Since I've been here, of course, yeah. This is definitely the most.
Dude,
awesome. I feel like every record, time we come here, it's a new there's record only, for how many people have come.
The crew grows, man.
Yes. Cool.
So, I mean, obviously, we're going to be talking about some tiki stuff today. Specifically,
Tiki Monday.
Tiki Mondays with Brian Miller. And so for the last, how long have you been doing this at Pouring Ribbons now? Because it started at Lanikai.
Then the Gold Room.
Gold Bar.
I'm sorry, Gold Bar, yeah.
Then Mother's Ruin. Then Apartment 13. Then Pouring Ribbons.
Wow.
And we closed, how many bars? Let's see. We closed Lanikai. we closed Apartment 13.
You guys, so, the harbingers of death.
And we haven't been invited back to most of them.
We have some bad
things,
news
so.
For you, Joaquin.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the good the good part is Pouring Ribbons is still open, so that's a good thing.
We celebrated the fourth anniversary. I don't know if we'll make it to the fifth now. Now I'm just worried. We're jinxed.
You guys are just gaining a good head of steam.
Yeah, man. So
maybe this Tiki Monday thing will take off.
Yeah, maybe.
maybe it'll stick.
So you guys have been taking this on the road a lot over the past couple of years, too.
Like, yeah, we've been really lucky. I did one in Moscow, and let's see, Ryan and I did one at the Standard in Hollywood. The last one that we took on the road was Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
We went out to Hong Kong for a week at the Mandarin Oriental.
Can we fast break and back up just for 1 second? And
yeah.
Like, for the listener, like, describe what Tiki Monday is. What is Tiki Monday? Obviously, it's on a Monday.
Well, we've been doing it for over 5 years now. It started with, actually, through Julie Reiner when she had Lanikai. I was, like, sitting there actually drinking a Mai Tai. I just left Death & Company, and she was like, Brian, why don't you do what everybody wants you to do, which is make tiki drinks? I was like, all right. And she was like, I'll give you the downstairs and you can do whatever you want. And I was like, okay, well, I have three rules. I was like, one, I get to make whatever I want to make. Two, I get to wear whatever I want to wear. And three, I get to listen to whatever music I want to listen to.
And pretty light rules.
But, you know, I mean, coming from the mustachioed, mustache wax, vest wearing tie thing, I was like, I just don't really wanted artists. To like change and do something different. And it was actually I think at first it was just like we were doing sleep, you know, Keith Richards t-shirts and stuff like that. And then Joaquin had gone to, where was it? You and Rhea went to
Fuji? We went to Fiji? Bali.
Bali.
Yeah, went to Bali.
Yeah, so I went to Bali sarongs. And Joaquin brought me back a sarong. And that was
sarong, but
that was right. That was kind of that was the beginning of when we started wearing sarongs, and it was.
The original, really?
Yeah. That was. I mean, I got my ex girlfriend gave me my first sarong, and I was wearing it for a while, but I never wore it at Tiki Mondays. And it was like the first sarong that I wore was the one that you
imagine you walk around the house in a sarong drinking like White Russians or something.
That's pretty much what I do now. My UPS guy knows me as the guy in the sarong, you know. But Tiki Mondays is essentially, it's like we dress like pirates, we listen to reggae, rock and roll, and rap, and we make tiki drinks. And we just kind of like throw a party. We just want people to go there and have fun. I mean, it's a way for Ryan and I to like make the drinks that we want to make. But for the most part, it's kind of a party. And it started off as, you know, Mondays were a day when not everybody was doing things. There weren't events or anything like that. So we just decided to throw a party, and it's been very heavily industry attended. But
it's Monday. Most of us have, you know, the night off.
Yeah, it's like
veterans, you know, anyway. Sorry for the younger crowd. They're working.
And it started off with, you know, since I'd left Death & Company, I was like, I wanted to work with some of my favorite bartenders. And so for the first year and a half or so, it was like everybody was guest bartending. You guys have obviously been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did one.
And it's three. Just, yeah, it's, you know. And then
Ari Form did three.
I did. We had the Tiki All-Stars. Yeah, there's arguments over who has done the most Tiki Mondays. But
I would say you did.
Yeah. Ryan and I, cheers to that, buddy.
I missed one.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, Ryan missed the very first one. The very first one was...
He was dead.
Basically, it was me and Julie. Julie was my first mate then. I think... Honestly, it was like 11 people came. Like, yeah, no one. Yeah, it was like we had a few people. There were Doug and Crystal, who have been our regulars since day one. They have been to almost, one of them has been to almost every Tiki Monday. Wow. I remember Dave Kaplan and Alex Day came in. Julie went to the other side of the bar and just sat and had drinks while, it was basically me just bartending for a handful of people. And then it's just steadily grown and progressed. And once we got to Pouring Ribbons, that was like when things totally changed for us. And it became through the leadership of Shipmaster Cott. It's just gotten bigger. He was one who said, like, maybe we should do this a little more infrequently, make it a bigger event.
I think that's a huge smart move. Excuse me. Every one Monday a month. Now it's just once every 3 months, right?
Yeah,
quarterly.
It's quarterly now.
It was 1 week.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was a week in the beginning.
For the first,
a lot of work.
For the first year and a half, it was once a week, a new bartender and a new 12 drink menu.
And we did R&D Sunday night before Tiki Monday.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It was. Yeah. So we created the menu Sunday. I went home usually pretty loaded, crunched all the numbers.
I have to assume that's half of the focus of Tiki Money was you getting to get loaded.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You created a thing. You created a snake that eats itself.
I don't drink when I work. That's no. But you drink. It was amazing to like really create a menu and see different bartenders come in and bring their own takes on Tiki, and. Honestly,
I remember I did mine. I did bitter tiki drinks. I used Fernet Branca and some different Amaro.
Sometimes they weren't tiki at all, but it was always fun working with everybody.
Yeah,
and making their drinks kind of fit the menu and stuff. That was half the fun, really.
Yeah, I mean, everybody brought like their own way of doing things. Like certain guys, like I remember Rafael Reyes, like brought in a more savory note and more aromatics and herbs and spices and stuff like that. I mean, Jesus Christ! Well, Todd Richmond, we did fucking Jägermeister. Tiki cocktails, which was kind of
that.
The first, yeah, and sake. Yep. I mean, we've done all sorts of things.
Remember, my first one was I got Cutty Sark.
That's right.
Famous Krause.
Yeah, that was the one and where Adam cut his head and you had to take him home.
Yeah, and then he threw, it was birthday, I think?
Yeah, it was his 49th birthday. That was the launch.
Pay the guy extra money to like let us out.
Yeah, we had to keep our sarongs on. That was the beginning, because when Adam, on his 49th birthday, decided to take his sarong off, and we bartended in our underwear for the last hour.
That became the fourth rule.
Yeah, and then Julie...
the sarongs on.
Julie was like, don't get too drunk, keep your sarongs on.
There have to be rules, gentlemen. Yeah, there have to be rules.
There have to be rules.
I mean, the early Tiki Mondays for me made me want to... like I had an interest in bartending, and you know, I was doing a lot of home cocktail stuff. But like for me, that was honestly what like pushed it and made me want to, you know, be like, okay, I have to do this. Like I was coming in once a week and having conversations with you and being like, yeah, let's talk about like the Plymouth Julietta and like, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I was working in radio at the time. And what eventually happened was this kind of once a week practice like took over my life, really. And what happened was you know, I started barbacking and whatnot, but you gave a barback a Tiki Monday shift and, you know, gave me an opportunity to write a menu. And that's what sort of started me creating cocktails. And, like, I have not stopped writing ever since. So you gave me 5 months to work on something. And I took a long time. Well, yeah, because it was, like, I believe it was your Tiki Monday that he, like, well, you finally looked at me and you're like, all right, you're just, like, going to keep coming here. You might as well, like, work. And
well, that was, like, the first Tiki Monday that we did. You put a lot of work into it, and, you know, it really showed in the drinks. I remember, what was it? One of them was the Napleton cocktail.
The Chinatown Daiquiri.
Yeah, that they, you lost the competition, but actually ended up being one of, you know, the more popular drinks at Tiki Monday. And then that was the thing. Like, a lot of bartenders put a lot of work into doing Tiki Mondays, but by the time we went to Gold Bar, it was... that was the beginning of the end of not bringing a guest bartender on, because guys were like doing half their homework and be like, okay, I'm going to use these four ingredients, Miller, figure out the rest, you know? And I was like, okay.
And I had started bartending at that time, so I wasn't there for R&D as much either. So you were kind of doing that on your own.
I was like, yeah, it was like, I was creating the menu, but putting someone else's name on it because those were the four ingredients. And then I was just like, all right, these guys were too drunk to come to work and like help me with R&D.
Pirates,
and
man.
Yeah. Hey man, it is not easy being a captain of a bar crew. That's for sure.
Herding drunken cats. Yeah, that's not, not good times.
Bill Cosby, come here, here.
Well, I feel like there are those who willingly get on board the ship, and then there are those who are shanghaied.
Yeah, there. So maybe this was. Yeah,
maybe these were guys. These were guys you dragged on board, kicking and screaming, and they weren't willing to put in the work.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of guys that like put in a lot of hard work. Yourself, Damon, like.
Well, and that's the cool thing too, because when I started Tiki Mondays, I was just a bar back, and I met all of you dudes when you were guesting for a Tiki Monday, and now I feel like I know you guys personally, which is awesome. It's helped my career a lot as a bartender, just knowing everybody. You know, and like that was how it all started for me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, because like seeing you guys sitting in here now, it's like, I didn't, you know, Brian's definitely the captain, but it's like you guys are like a really strong crew, and you guys have been the cool thing to me about the fact that you switched it up to you guys. Yeah,
oh,
that's
my
nice.
God.
Souther's showing his tiki makeup.
I had a gold tooth that I can clip it. It's a clip-in gold tooth I was wearing.
You should have one for
Souther
real.
Was frightened.
My favorite one of you, Souther, is at Gold Bar, and there's like you're in your pirate. You weren't even working that night. You were in a pirate costume, and it's just like so sexy, just sitting there drinking a tiki drink. It's like a profile drink.
I love Tiki Monday. I mean,
on that last note though, that was really special. It's a really like expansive thing. Like, you get to meet so many people, they all become your family. Like, I wouldn't have known half the people that I know in the service industry without Tiki Monday. I mean, Ryan here got me into it when I was a food runner
that's
at Clover
one.
Club.
That's the one. I love it.
Gave me my first Cobra's Fang. It was like, hey, here's Tiki, kid. Yeah. Learned to love it. And now I'm
an integral part of the ship.
Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker. I can't get enough of it.
Well, that was the thing. It was like when we transitioned from Ryan just being a barback to Ryan bartending, it was like, okay, I needed a barback. And that's when I kind of met Jelani. This was at Mother's Ruin.
During the winter.
Yeah, during the winter. It was like, he was the kid that, as I was getting to know him, was like working at Clover Club at night and then getting on his bicycle in a sarong, no shirt, and a couple of lays, and riding over the Brooklyn Bridge and riding to Mother's Ruin. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This kid's like riding around with no shirt in like 20 degree weather. I was like, he's dedicated. Like, I was like, we got to bring this guy on.
You're hired, son.
Yeah, I was like, you're hired.
And it's one word for it.
It was, I mean, Swabby's been a tremendous help with us.
We could not do it without him. Yeah. But no way.
I think that what makes Tiki Mondays as popular as it is and as driven as it is and that sort of community that it's created is that it's less about, you know, bartending, which is what we mostly talk about in this room. And it's more about like it's a community. Like Tiki builds community more than bartending does.
Yeah, I mean, one of the
things... It's whimsical, it's fun, it's
we always say about Tiki Mondays is we take our drinks seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. Like, we, you know, we care about the drinks, we put a lot of work into the drinks, but it's more about, like, just having fun. You know, taking the seriousness out of it, aside from the cocktails. It's like, if I give you a drink, unless you really want me to, I'm not going to explain it to you or give you the history or anything like that. It's like, here, enjoy this. Escape and be with other people. I mean, I look at it kind of like dancing at a wedding. You can't put it in a certain area and say this is where you're supposed to dance. It's like everybody just takes over and they all become friends. It's a way for industry people that when they have their days off, they get to come in and like have fun. You know, Adam Kolasar, who does, you know, Orshot Works, Tiki Adam. One of the greatest compliments that we got for Tiki Monday was like, Adam was like, when we were at Lani Kai, he goes, I feel like I'm a part of something. Like, it's not just me coming to an event and being some anonymous face in there. He's like, I feel like I'm a part of something. And now it's like when a lot of us, Adam comes into the room, it's not, hey, this is Adam Kolasar. It's like, this is Tiki Adam. Like, people get monikers and they build up names, and it's like Adam has been
Up businesses.
Yeah, basically you build businesses, you know, and we've, you know, I always
Went from enthusiast to attendee to now maker of Orgeat and syrups, right?
Yeah, and I mean everybody, you know, uses Adam. That's the other thing. It's like we help other people, we help brands.
Yeah,
I mean, if they use his Orgeat, I think his wife would be mad if they just kept using him.
Yeah.
We use Adam.
Well, guys, we're at mid-show, so we're going to take a quick break so we can hear from our sponsor. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the sort of community that you guys build with Tiki Monday.
And what's in this glass.
And what's in this glass. And then, frankly, we're going to need to talk about what's next.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break.
I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin tonics and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just 2 pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular.
It's their show,
right? And we're back with the whole Tiki Monday crew pirating up the... What's pirate radio today?
Yeah!
Well done, gentlemen.
So, you have a very mysterious-looking bottle that you've been pouring into our glasses.
Shrunken head.
There's a black ceramic shrunken head.
Yeah, it's a little... decanter from Tiki Farm, little shrunken head zombie thing.
And I've been cleaning out my liquor collection a little bit, which is a difficult task in itself.
It's hard work, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So the rum we're drinking today is a Mount Gay sugarcane brandy / rum. And it's something that Mount Gay doesn't do anymore. When I was in Barbados, they had little 375s of it behind the cashier. And I was like, great, I'll take it. And they were like, yeah, we're discontinuing it. And so like most brands, it's like, okay, cool. You're going to take something really great and then discontinue it. That's perfect. So I've been stocking up on this rum. And it's just like, it's Mount Gay, but better. it's better. I think it's more delicious than anything they do. I would love to see them do it again, please.
Yeah, hint. Scott Fitzgerald, are you listening? Hint.
Yeah, it has such, you know, richness to it. And character. I figured, what better way to drink it than with friends on the radio?
It's delicious, man. Yeah. Well, that kind of goes back to the, you know, to me, like tiki drinks and rum are, I would say, you know, it's a collector's booze, you know? It's like you've got all these different rums, all different styles from... It can be made anywhere in the world, and a lot of them we can't get here, especially the really cool ones, and, you know, like this. And so that alone builds kind of like a community, like we were talking about before the break, you know, just like... It's like the most friendly... one-upsmanship, you know, like it's like, well, dude, I got this one, check this out, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck, that's cool, man.
It's like we're all sitting around, you know, it's like as a kid with Star Wars action figures, you know, it's like, oh my god, you have Boba Fett, like, oh, you have the new Darth Vader. It's like everybody has some sort of amazing rum, and it just kind of like, I mean, this community kind of brings us all together. And you know, as I say to people, I was like, look, I may be the only self-admitted pirate, but everybody in this industry is a pirate. They just don't know it, you know, or they won't admit it. It's like we all steal from each other and borrow from each other. And, you know, we also, you know, pirates are socialists. We share.
I think most of us are too young to collect Star Wars action figures, though.
God, is that true?
I was going to say Pokemon or some shit.
Sorry, did I just age myself then?
Not me, Brian.
You dated yourself decades ago.
I'm right there with you, buddy. Don't worry.
On a similar note to the sharing things and sort of introducing new rums and stuff, I think what was really interesting about the whole run of Tiki Mondays is that we got to see some classics come to life in the New York market, in the United States in general, that maybe were not made for like several decades. Like I remember, especially like, you know, when I was not a bartender, like just going every week, seeing things like the Skin Diver, the Beachcomber's Gold, all those things come to life, jump off the pages of Beachbum Berry's book. I think that was really special. And I think even today, you know, we do have some sort of like neo-tropical bars and things like the Nomad and other people doing tiki drinks. They're not so specifically rooted in classics the way Tiki Mondays is. And like as awesome as like the original cocktails are, like the Smoking Sarong and all that stuff, like I think seeing some of those classics like come back to life is really exciting for people because they're damn good drinks. And like, you know, Beachbum Berry talks about it all the time. If you entered a Missionary's Downfall into a cocktail competition today, it would at least get second place. It's an extremely progressive cocktail.
I wanted to speak on that a little bit too, Garrett, because that's totally part of our R&D sessions. You know, it's like we try not to repeat too many drinks, but you know, sometimes we do. But the fun part is going back and discovering kind of what works from these drinks, what doesn't work from these drinks, and figuring out how we want to build this menu.
The Polynesian Spell. It's a gin cocktail that uses grape juice. Grape, Welch, not grapefruit.
Yeah,
grape.
Welch is grape juice. So yeah, there was a time when Garrett and I were in New Orleans and we were talking with Bum, and we actually mentioned the Polynesian Spell, and he was like, how the fuck do you guys even know what that drink is? And I was like,
we read your books.
We're just reading the Bible, sir.
Super nerds.
You know, it's like what Brian said earlier. We don't take ourselves seriously, but we take the cocktail seriously. So there's like, what, a 20-hour R&D session going into each menu every time? And believe me, the last Tiki Monday is going to be much statement. More than that. It's going to be much more than that for the last one.
Wait.
Dude, just the this last morning one? At noon, we went through four iterations of a Saturn riff that
got progressively better.
Better and better. But it just, it takes so much to really nail it down to the point where we're comfortable putting it over the bar.
Like, when you see us dancing behind the bar at Tiki Mondays,
Tiki perfectionists.
You see us dancing around and playing air guitar, but all the love in the world went into those cocktails. Of course, behind the bar, we're goofy, we're high-fiving, our sarongs sometimes come off.
Yeah, right.
But the cocktails are still going to be paramount in all of this.
I remember when Brian first was doing the when Brian and Lynette were doing the consulting at El Ataria. Brian was still working at Death & Company, and that was when he first started going down that tiki rabbit hole. And that was when tiki style drinks first started getting put onto craft cocktail programs. And that was when it was started to become a thing. And when Jeff Beachbum Berry came to Death & Company, and I had the pleasure to work alongside Brian that shift, and we threw every tiki drink that we could ever think of at him, our own originals, our takes on classics, everything that we could do, and to make that guy so giddy, it made us feel great. And it was really lovely to show him that, like, the Arm Garter set cared about tiki too. You know, it wasn't just about Jerry Thomas. Like, and that was, I think, a transformative point.
That was a game-changing moment, because I remember.
He wrote a blog post about that.
Yeah, he actually wrote a blog post
about it. And I probably read that, like, 15 times. It was amazing.
It was one of those moments where it was like, one, Joaquin and I were just like a couple of giddy teenagers. Mm-hmm. It was like, here, sign my book, please. And I've got drunken bum scribble all over my book.
Should have asked for that earlier.
I remember he had done an interview in the New York Times where he wrote, "You can't get a decent zombie in New York City." And I took that
as challenge accepted.
I was like, that was a personal challenge. And so, you know, and that was at the time when he wrote Sip and Safari, and that was basically the roadmap to how to make a zombie. And so I did it, and when he came in to Death & Company, I put the zombie in front of him, and I was like, I've been waiting 3 years to give this to you.
Wow.
And, like, he was, you know, he's such a huge part of what we do and such a tremendous influence and also just an incredible supporter of us. You know, to have that guy behind us is amazing. And I know, Souther, you were talking about why last one.
Yeah, what did someone said last Tiki Monday?
So this is the last Tiki Monday, 5 years. It's a little over 5 years. It's ending. The crew and I, we have a special project that we are getting ready to embark on. And so we kind of need to focus our energy on that.
And I understand you're not going to reveal to our listener, but at 10 p.m. on February 13th at Pouring Ribbons during Tiki Monday,
we will make the official announcement of what our plans are.
All right.
So come to Tiki Monday on February 13th. That's at Pouring Ribbons, where we've been for the last 2.5 years.
Pouring Ribbons, Avenue B.
225 Avenue B.
Yeah.
Second floor, just above B Liquors, between 13th and 14th.
Thanks, Joaquin.
It might actually be the last time Pouring Ribbons is open, maybe. I don't know.
I do that in my sleep sometimes. It's like, so strange. I know.
So, I mean, like, I have a question. So, from all the, especially the earlier days when you had guest bartenders on every week, I mean, I'm sure you have an archive of, like, every cocktail that's been
every
I
single do. One, dude.
Every single.
So when's the book coming out?
Every single.
Yeah, that alone is a book.
Well, you know, as some of you may be aware, if you don't have a bar, you're kind of persona non grata in this industry. And so no publisher has really wanted to touch me without a bar.
Weird.
So, yeah, it's really weird.
Fuck, I was like,
yeah, they call it a platform.
So we were doing the math the other day, and we figured out that Brian Miller was started bartending when I was 6 years old. And he has
what
been
are you
at
now, 34, 35?
Fucking stop.
Fuck you, Jelani.
Well, not to age the old man or anything.
Oh, of course not. No, that doesn't make me seem old at all.
Star Wars film,
but really, though, like, since I met this guy, he has been so dedicated to his craft and has done nothing but just, you know, day in and day out, year in and year out, just do it. And he, I don't even know what to say about
him. I think I'm getting hard for
the one thing I would like to say about, like, just kind of the transition of Tiki Monday and where it went from being, like, a weekly party, I think there's a certain amount of fatigue that kind of setting, both from the staff and as well as from the audience, where it was like, if the guest bartender wasn't registering for them, they were like, I'll just go next week. And when we brought them
aboard, when your band plays too much, you know, exactly. I'll just go see them play next week.
Yeah, oh, I'll go to the next one.
That's absolutely what was happening to Tiki Mondays.
Right, and when we did the first one at Pouring Ribbons and we had almost 400 people walk through the door, we realized, like, turning this into a quarterly made a lot of sense. You know, like, it built up the anticipation. It allowed everyone to get really excited about what was happening.
It also made for a no miss, right? If you say, oh, I'm going to miss this one, then it's fucking 3 more months, right?
You just got to wait that much longer.
Plus, me and Brian started drinking a lot less at that point.
Which, did we?
That's a blur. I feel like when it was quarterly, I had, like, entirely new girlfriends, like, every new, like, you know? Like, it was like, I was like, oh, you were, like, two back was when I was with this person. Like,
it just made it more special. It was like when people did show up, it was like, you know, it's the family coming together. It was like a family reunion. And, like, everybody just kept coming in and, like, the, you know. Honestly, behind every great bartender is a businessman that knows what's going on. And that's what Shipmaster Cott has been to us, is like, he's been a really great businessman that's like, cool, you're the creative talent. That's fine. Go make the fucking drinks. I will take care of everything else, you know. And we've had tremendous support from brands that have been incredibly kind to us through not only Jason's connections, but mine. It's, I mean, we have 9 sponsors for this last one.
Wow.
We got 9 sponsors. We got games. We got 3 bottles of booze. It's going to be awesome.
We got hula dancers. We're going to have Gaz Regan's coming in to do finger-stirred Negronis and give everybody scurvy.
There'll be rum Negronis, to be fair. And there should be enough orange peel expressed over the top where scurvy shouldn't be in it.
Kingston Negroni?
I mean, what is it? So we've got Barberport, the House of Agricole, Zacapa and Bullet. Beam is sponsoring with El Tesoro Bimini Gin,
Langley's Crucian, Gin,
Machu Pisco. Adam's coming in with Orshot Works with all of his Orshot plus his new Falernum.
So we got our work cut out for us to do all these products.
Yeah, we have
so much deliciousness to play with.
There's some good cocktails down the line, though.
We have just under 2 weeks to get this shit together.
Well, we basically got a week, because then we got to order everything.
Yeah.
Fair. R&D session on Sunday is really good.
Nothing inspires like a deadline.
And, fact.
Just one more note, back on like the book and the archive that we have. There's been so many different sponsors over the years. Every time, it's so many different sponsors. We've worked tiki with every spirit, every category within the industry.
I had a beer night.
I mean,
night. Like, how do you make beer tiki?
We fucked. Yeah,
we have made everything.
I mean, we've done beer tiki. I mean, Damon, I feel like you've been a part of
Scotch tiki for the past year. God.
Some of the most difficult ones. I think we did beer and scotch.
That was for my night.
We made it. He is good.
The hardest cards to play.
Oh, dude, I love that shit. I love a challenge.
I mean, it's just it's so fun, and I mean, honestly, I can't thank enough for like the industry coming in and supporting and the brands that have been there. It's been a struggle. There's been definitely some times where it's like a little overkill, where people are like, you know, I'm fucking tired. Like, I don't want to watch these guys make drinks drunkenly and whatever. But it's like, this is going to be the big one. And the thing for me is like, Tiki Monday started off as something that was kind of like, for me, it was selfish. It was like, okay, cool, I get to make tiki drinks, I get to serve them with my friends, and I get to work with some of the best people in the industry. And now it's like, I'm doing this for you guys. Like, I'm doing this for the people that come and go. Like, they're so dedicated. Like, we have regulars. It's why we have the Tiki Mafia ARG, because of all the people that have come and shown so much support and love. And it's, again, a little tiki boner here, but like, everybody has been really supportive. I mean, a tiki pop-up bar for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, if you had told me when I was younger, let's say 30, you know, that I would be a pirate making drinks for people, I would have laughed in your face. And now it's basically who the fuck I am.
Man, it's fucking awesome, man. I remember, like, well, I will say this, man. It's great having you guys on the show. Obviously,
thank you.
I remember all of your nights, you know, there, and some of the most creative tiki drinks, and like, it's been so inspiring, man. Because like, just looking back on some of those, like we were saying before, like some of those crazy ingredients that weren't meant to go in that tiki mug, you know, but we made it happen. And you guys constantly do that. And I really appreciate having you back to talk about the last Tiki Monday night, especially because it's pretty close to the date. You were my first radio guest on this show.
We're coming full circle there.
Yeah, man. That was January 12, 2011.
I can't even believe I was your first guest. I mean, when I think about it, I was like, wow, he could have chosen anybody.
Dude, but you chose again, me. You're inspirational, man, and I wanted to start it out that way.
He chose a 75-year-old bartender in a sarong.
Hey, this was pre-sarong.
My mentor, Jerry Thomas, would be so proud of me, right?
You were his favorite bar back.
You guys took phone calls back then, though. I remember somebody asking.
Yeah, it was the moonshine phone call. Yeah.
You've done enough Tiki Mondays that you probably
My ex-girlfriend's dad. Yeah. That was funny.
Oh, that's
that
was right. Yeah,
that was not revealed
but it's,
on air.
You know, it's been a hell of a ride, and it's been so much fun. I mean,
it's been awesome. Thanks for everyone that's ever came out to Tiki Monday, all the sponsors. But she's ready to take a nap now. A very long.
Well,
nap.
The sleeping dragon's about to awake.
Yeah, it's the end of one chapter and the beginning of another.
Can't wait.
We're all very excited.
Please, everybody, come meet new friends, see old friends, come and just have a great time because this last Tiki Monday, this is for you guys.
Yeah, we won't be wearing sarongs, so.
Right.
At least we'll be wearing anything by the end of the night.
Yeah, by the end of the night, you know.
Hey-o.
So the last Tiki Monday, February 13th, Pouring Ribbons on B between 13 and 14 upstairs.
But tonight,
we are making a guest appearance at Grand Army.
Grand Army, yeah. We're going to be slamming some DAX.
Yeah. DTOs. DTOs.
Move over, Negroni. The favorite drink now of bartenders is the daiquiri.
It's daiquiri. We're just going to be just a bunch of hairy dudes making daiquiris.
Hairy dudes in Brooklyn making daiquiris.
It's all right. If none of you show up, we'll drink all the daiquiris.
Way to sell that.
It's great. It's going to be good. Joaquin lives 46 steps.
46 steps away.
So he'll be fine.
They're fine straining, so their beard hair won't be in the...
By the time I fall out of Grand Army, I'm halfway home. It's glorious.
Yeah, awesome. So that's 336 State Street in downtown Brooklyn, State and Hoyt. So we'll be doing that from 5 to 7 today. If you
please come.
We're just going to have a good time. And again, congratulations on all the whole run of Tiki Mondays. And we're all very anxious to see what is happening next. And I know that announcement's actually going to be made at
Tiki Monday, 10 p.m. on February 13th. We will announce what our new project is.
Highly anticipated. Yeah, just for the listeners' sake, they won't tell us either.
I'm
walking the plank over here, if you know what I mean. all right, so we're going to wrap up this show. Next week's show is going to feature Kimmy Winkler from Nova Fogo, as well as Jen Marshall from Reykjavik Vodka. We're going to talk all things brand rep related for these ladies who go out and work really hard to represent their brands. And then maybe, we've got a maybe on the table, they can sponsor a happy hour over at Grand Army just following.
Cool, man.
So this was a great show, guys. Let's give it a big pirate arg before we get off the air.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Tiki Monday, really the day before Valentine's Day, Pouring Ribbons.
You got to go into Valentine's Day with a little bit of a hangover.
You gotta go.
You're responsible for a bunch of relationships breaking up because
you're column A, column B, breaking up and getting together.
Yeah,
and the girl will have like
rum suits. All
Cheers, guys! Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.